Shalom to all our students and friends, and today we're going to discuss Parashat Balak. Parashat Balak you can find it in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, chapter 22, verse 2 and on. And the name of the parasha, Balak was the king of Moab. And just to remind everybody the context, in the parasha of last week, Parashat Chukat, the Israelites complete the traveling in the desert. They turn away from the Sinai. They move into the Negev, the south of Israel of today. And then they make a big detour around Edom, which is Petra, the Red Rock, across the Arava, south of Jordan of today. They go around in the desert. Then they go around the kingdom of Moab, which was situated east of the Dead Sea. And then they go straight in towards the Jordan River on the east side in front of Jericho, while smiting the kings of the Amorites, removing them from history, taking over the lands all the way from the north of the Dead Sea on the east side of the Jordan, all the way up to the Bashan and the Haran and the Golan, south of Damascus. So here we are. They have a big camp right now. And the Moabites to the south are horrified. That's what we read in the beginning of the parasha. And what does it say? Vayar Balak ben Zippor. And Balak, the son of Zippor, sees et kol asher asa Yisrael amori, everything that Israel has done to the Amorites. Okay? How we could see everything that Israel has done to the Amorites? He could see some of it. He could see part of it. He could hear about it. But to see everything, how could he see everything? We'll see. Vayagor Moab, and here comes another verse. Vayagor Moab mipnei ha'am, and Moab was really afraid, very much afraid from the people of Israel. Kiravu, because they're so big and so strong. Vayakatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. Here comes an amazing expression. Vayakatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. The word is vayakatz. Vayakatz means, says Rashi, the great commentator, but it's based on the Torah. The vayakatz means they were fed up of their lives. They wished themselves to die because of their anxiety of what will happen to them by the Israelites. Okay? So, here it is. Balak, the king of Moab, and the Moabites, they're scared to death. They're so scared, they're psychotic. Because of it, they wish themselves to die, and they are looking for a way to totally destroy, eliminate the Israelite nation. Okay? Most of the story is about that. Now, so how the story goes on, Balak realizes Balak ben Zippor, his father's name was not Zippor. What the commentators are teaching us, and especially the Zohar, his name was Ben Zippor because he was a wizard and he was specialized in the dark arts of magic, cursing and using witchcraft against other people. By the way, that was a very common trait and profession in the Middle East of those days. And the Egyptians did it, the Canaanites did it, Balak did it. All of them were into black magic. You can find it today in archaeological excavations all over the Middle East. Wherever you dig to that era, you find so much black magic. Okay, and idol worshipping. And then Balak realizes he cannot get the fight on himself because the power of the magical power of Moses is so much greater than his, so he wants to hire Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, but on the dark side. In the same, says the Midrash, he had the same powers of Moses, but on the dark side. Okay? So the story about Balak and Balaam getting together and then trying to inject negativity into the Israelites. The Israelites have no idea that all of this is happening until they find a way in the end of the parasha to hurt and damage and destroy, bring destruction amongst the Israelites, but that is being stopped by Pinchas. Okay, so let's go into the details, and the question is, what's in it for us? You have to remember what Rabbi Ashlag, the commentator on the Zohar, the founder of the modern movement of Kabbalah around the world, and he says very clearly, now it's not his, but he says very clearly, when we study the Torah, when we study the prophets and so on, and it speaks about history, we are not interested in history. Oh yes, those people existed, those events happened, but what's in it for us so many thousands of years later? And the answer is, all the stories that the Torah bring us about the past, they are basically talking about forces that are playing a very important role inside each one of us. And this is what we're in. So when we say, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, we'll go to the Zohar. And the Zohar says very clearly, Rabbi Shimon Amar, so Rabbi Shimon said, Vayar, and he saw, Balak saw, Mayri Machama, what kind of a seeing, a vision, or what a sight did he see? Riyah Vaday Mamash Chama. And he says, B'mashkufa de Chochmata, he saw a vision through his magic, like his crystal ball. He had the technology of wizardry in which he could see stuff that people cannot see with the naked eye. Okay, and what does it mean? Rabbi Shimon says there are a few verses in the Bible, in the Tanakh, that mention that. It says, for instance, he's bringing from a verse from Genesis, chapter 26, Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishim Bat Chalon, and Avimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked through or watched through the window. And he saw stuff, it's not what's important, but he saw stuff there's no way that he could see with the physical eyes. Then there's another verse from the book of Judges about the mother of Sisera, that she saw through the window that her son was killed in the war by Yael. Okay, there's no way she could see it with her physical eyes. The Zohar says as follows, says Rabbi Shimon, what does it mean through the window? Ela vaday chalon de chokhmata. That's a window of wisdom. Diznavei shuleihon de kochavaya. Ve'inun chalonei de chokhmata. Ve'chad chalon it de chol chokhmata beishaya. There are windows of wisdom. There is the window. If you look through that window, you see the whole wisdom. But most people we're mentioning over here, they had their individual window that allowed them to look through the edges of wisdom. What does that mean? We know very well that people are willing to give a lot in order to be able to see what's really going on, what is going to happen in the future. So in the past, you paid all kinds of witches and wizards and warlocks or whatever you could call them, priests and high priests, just tell me about myself, tell me what you see about me, what do you see about my future? Okay, and people would pay a lot. Today, you pay, you know, governments pay fortune for analysts, for all kinds of people who claim that they can take a lot of pieces of information and from that they can make a window through which they can have a forecast for economy, for a lot of stuff. Individualistic matters or government matters, world matters. The problem is that a lot of them, most of them, cannot foresee with all the money. Just give you an example. 2008, there was a big economical disaster, right? The huge markets in America collapsed, and they brought the world economy to the verge of total disruption. A lot of people lost their money. A lot of, you know, it was very hard. How many of those people who get paid to foresee the economy saw it in advance? Very, very, very few, and nobody really listened to them. Okay? How many times we pay all kinds of experts to tell us about, you know, medicine? Tell me what's going to happen with me. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it's not. So most people live in a place of uncertainty because trying to find some certainty in some people's ability to foresee the next steps, and especially after the corona pandemic. Before the corona pandemic, we thought that we can see a stable future ahead of us. Today, we know we cannot. We can think that we see, but you know, that's a very big quality, knowing that you don't know, knowing that you cannot see. Here is Balak. He was, according to the Midrash, Balak was taken to become the king of the Moabites because of his abilities to foresee, because his ability to have a window through the wisdom in which he could see stuff. And when Rabbi Shimon says, when he saw all what Israel did to the Amorites, he saw, says the Zohar in later verses, he saw through his witchcraft that he's called the bird, that's why his name was the son of the bird, he could see exactly where the war was happening. And the war between the Israelites and the Amorites, again, was a war in the magical dimension, the same way that the war between Moses and Pharaoh happened on the level of the 10th place. Nothing was normal over there. It was not a war, a duel between two people holding guns or swords or a bow and arrow. It was in the magical dimension. Okay? So Balak saw all the forces involved in the fight between Moses and the Amorites. From that, the power was so strong, says the Zohar, that even his magical bird, that's the window he was looking through, was hurt and was burned almost totally, and he was totally scared. Okay, but what's the problem? Here it is, Vayar Balak, and he saw. And because he saw, and the Moabites saw, the Israelites, as an existential threat, okay, they were in such a state of psychosis, they couldn't think about living anymore. They were so hysterical. One little problem. They had it written on the wall. You know, they would say that it was written on the wall. When the Israelites wanted to go through Moab, they asked the Moabites for permission. And the Moabites said, no, you cannot pass through our property. So the Israelites went north in the desert and went up. When they're facing the Amorites attacked them, and the Israelites fought back and got the passage. Okay? If just Balak sent a mission to Moses and said, like, please don't hurt us, and Moses would say, we got an order from the Creator not to touch you guys. And that was the truth. The whole vision that Balak saw was partial, because he was looking through a window from, as the Zohar says, from the edges of the stars. Okay? He was using maybe astrology, any kinds of other witchcraft or whatever. He saw the picture, but he saw only a very partial picture. We all have that kind of a vision. Maybe we are smart enough to see a picture. we're smart enough to even have a window we can look through, and through our experience or even hiring people that are even more very expensive because they have a talent to see stuff, to analyze it, called, you know, people who analyze the markets. Okay? The problem is nobody can really see the future. Nobody can give it the certainty saying, you know what? What you see around, it will stay like this. It's okay. The market will stay stable. You can buy real estate. You can buy gold. The prices won't go crazy. Everything will be... Nobody can be sure of it today because you look around and you see countries that fall apart. And they're not countries anymore. All over the world, you see stuff that you were sure that debts will never... It's weird, beyond weird. So what we learn about it, we all have our Balak and Bilam. And here we have also the story. Bilam, who was a great prophet, also had the connection with God. So he said, the Zohar says he was cheating. He had a connection with a God, not with the God he claimed to be connected to. Why? Because the Zohar says when a person is so full of himself, so full of his ego, he can't trust him to see the great picture. How do you see that? We can see through the story, the whole story of Balaam being hired by Balak to come and curse the Israelites. So first, Balaam is pretending to be a righteous man. He says to the mission that Balak is sending him, let me ask the Creator. Let me ask Hashem, okay, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me ask the great God what to do. But really, the Zohar says, he says, let's wait for the night. Why? Because witchcraft, it's easier to do it at nights. Okay? So because the darkness of the night is also a spiritual darkness. There's less positive powers. It's easier to cast spells at night. Okay, so not that I'm offering you how to cast spells. It doesn't work. Look at Bilam and Balak. They didn't survive the mission. Bilam is doing witchcraft the whole evening. Then he goes to sleep because he cannot really connect to God. Only through his sleep. Only after he really connects to very dark energies. So says the Zohar. And then he gets a message from his God, from his window, that says to him very clear, very clear, do not go with them. Do not bless the people because they're blessed. And he said, okay, I can bless them. And he says, do not interfere for your own good. Okay, Bilam gets up in the morning and he says, Hashem, the Lord of the universe told me not to go with you. So they go back to Balak, and Balak says, I know the guy. I can bribe him. And he says, go. He sends more people that are more important, that make a whole show of respect. We'll give you money. We'll give you so much respect. Why can't you come with us? And Bilam says, I'll ask again. He already got an answer. Why are you asking again? And the Zohar says, in the moment you are full, you can be bribed. People, you can bribe them. Buy honor, respect, money. The moment we, and it's all of us, it's all of us. The moment we find ourselves in such a weak position, whatever we see, and that's what Balak saw, it's partial. And because it is partial, it's going to be used against us sooner or later. And here comes the Zohar and gives us an amazing lesson. And he says over there that I'm going to verse 276 in the Zohar of Parashat Balak, Perusha Sulam, the Sulam commentary. And he's bringing a verse from Psalms 11 about those wicked, that they, when they, you know, prepare the bow to shoot the arrow, about, you know, how they plan their way. And although the Zohar says, we all know it's speaking about the two advisors of Chizkiyahu, King Chizkiyahu. But this is being said again. We're not talking bad-mouthing about some people that live in the past. And they cannot be there to say, you know, how can you blame us? We are not there to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves. It says, no, we are talking about the dark side and his army. Where do they dwell? Inside each one of us. Why do they dwell inside each one of us? Because that's how the world is working. Our souls are coming to be born in a physical body, and the physical body is guf na guf male asafsuf. It's a body full of an army of negativity. And why? Because you want the light of the Creator, you want the light of the creation, you must earn it. How earn it? How do you earn it? Coming to a body makes you blind. You think that you see. You think that you heard. You think that you figured it out, and you only see it through a tiny window that allows you to see a partial picture, and you are sure you saw the whole picture. And here we see how the, you know, you can see it many times, how people figure out all kinds of signs that they are this and this and this and this. You know, people look for signs. So here it says that Balak and Bilam, like all of those thoughts inside each one of us, they had a certainty that they are going to win. They're going to eliminate the Israelite nation. Because they said, Amalek, which is the power of doubt, which is the power that really hurt the nation of Israel. If you look at the word Amalek, you can find two words in it. Im-lak, which means Am-lak, which Am means a nation. Lak is come from Laka, which means was beaten. A beaten up nation. Amalek is the numerical value in Hebrew is Safek, doubt. When we doubt the Creator, when we doubt His complete rulership about everything, we have that doubt. Doubt is safek. Safek is also the letters of pasek, cut off. When we are cut off from his light, oh, the amount of mistakes we're capable of doing is unlimited. And the amount of chaos we can create is unlimited. So they said, we are going to use that power of Amalek against the Israelites. Why? Look at the words Bil'am. You have Bil'am, you have Bal and Am. And you have Balak. Okay? And you have Lak. Amalek. You have Amalek in the names of Bil'am and Balak. The only ones who could really hurt Am Israel were Bil'am and were Amalek. We have Amalek in our names. So that's a sign that we can fight them. That's one thing. The other one is Balak is the letters of Balak, which means here comes the one, Ba is here comes, whoever hit them as he wanted without the Israelites being able to fight back properly. Okay, that's Balak. And Bil'am is Bal'am, Ein'am, which means no nation, and which means there's no shepherd, just our name. It's a sign. It's a sign. You know how many times we tell ourselves, look at my name. It has that letter. It's a sign. It's a sign. You know what? Balak and Bilam, they were trained in the dark arts of witchcraft more than all of us will ever be able to learn. And they saw through the window more than each one of us can ever see. And they saw a partial picture that made them think they're going through the right way, but it led them to their own demise. We are talking about us. We're looking for the signs. We're listening to other people's wisdom. We hire people to show us their windows, so we can have a bigger, better picture. It could be lawyers and doctors and specialists and stuff like this. And we still make mistakes in much more than we could ever bear. Okay? So, but the Creator, says the Zohar, verse 277, he took the same letters and he calculated differently. How? He says, in the word Balak, there is Bal. And Bilam, there is also Bal. Together, Bal, Bilbul, confusion. In Hebrew, what's left? Emek, Ayin Mem Kuf, from Bilam and Balak. Bilbul Amok, it's a deep confusion. So, you can take the letters and turn them around the way you want. You can see what you want as a sign, but combination of letters can give you so many signs, which one of them will tell you the truth. So what is that about? All of that is when you come, says the Zohar, to curse, to destroy, to bring evil, and it comes with so much pride and so much ego and so much negativity and so much desire for respect and honor and money and power, you're coming from the wrong place. So whatever you're going to see when you're coming from that place is going to lead you to your disaster. And we could see that in the history of humanity so many times. People who had all the resources and they wanted to control, to conquer. And you look at the mistakes they have done and you realize, how can power corrupt? The moment people are busy with power, obsessed with power, and that could be each one of us. Each one of us, you know, could be somebody who just had power over two people running a small business, but you already have power. You know, all of us, we are so easy to cheat ourselves. And so we see, Balak saw, Bilam saw, and the result was they were messing up all the time. Finally, Balaam is promising, I'm going to curse them and I'm going to bring the Israelite nation to their demise. No one will be left alive. And every time he opens his mouth, just blessings and good prophecies come out. Till Balak says to him, Brach lecha, run away from here. And disgrace, with so much disgrace. Wow. That's what you wanted? More than that. When he walks on the way and his donkey sees the angel, he cannot see, the big prophet cannot see the angel. His donkey saves his life. That's how the angel says to him, finally, when he reveals to him. And Bilam is saying, oh, if you want me to come back, to go back, I'll go back. 3 times you were warned not to do that. You can't get it? No, just tell me again not to go. You know what? Go ahead. He was killed. In the end of the story, he was killed. Not in this parasha, but in Parashat Pinchas. He never came back home. That was his last journey. So what's the healing for that? Why are we talking about just to feel bad about ourselves? The end of the parasha, there's a turn in the story. Bilam, he realizes suddenly he was a wise man. He had a huge wisdom. And with all of his pride and stupidity, the stupidity comes only from being evil. Not having the commitment to love others as you love yourself. Not accepting that, that's a bigger secret. Having the commitment that I have to transform myself. And whatever I'm going through, I have to find a way to turn my egotistic desires into altruism. But only by that, I can, by the law of affinity and attraction, get myself connected to the endless light of God. And that is the only thing to bring me wisdom, sight, and everything that is good. The only way. You can't cheat the system. That's how the universe is wired. That's what the Zohar is teaching us. So Bilam, with all his wisdom, suddenly realizes why he can't channel negativity to the Israelites. There's no negativity available. The Creator protected the Israelites, and they have no idea that that's happening. He says there's right now only loving kindness in the world. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we preach right now, movements of preaching, just make love, just love, just love? Did you realize that all of these movements that preach for only love, you know, communism preached for loving each other and unity for all the workers. Do you know that communism brought the murder of more people than Nazism? If we put together the Soviet Union with China, communist China, Mao Zedong with Cambodia, with Vietnam, all the sacrifice that was done in the name of society and brought the death of so many millions just in the name of doing good for society. When you just want only love, finally it hurts. All of those communions, the research that was done about all of these communions that sprouted like fire in California, in the you know, the mountains of in all of these ashrams in the mountains in New Jersey during the 60s, and what kind of atrocities they have done in the name of love. Because when you only have right column, only love, things can go really wild. What was happening? That's what Bilam realized. So he said to the Midianites and the Moabites, send your best, beautiful, dressed girls to the Israelites. They won't be able to say no. The girls will come and say, sleep with me. And the Israelites says, I can't. It's against the Torah. He said, why, you don't love me? You're racist. You're racist. You want, you know, free love. We love you. You should love us back and worship our God. No, we can't. There's only one God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God we saw, Mount Sinai. No, you have to respect our narrative. You have to respect our culture. We are for multiculturalism, which means you are just a fake if you don't love us the way we are, and you have to join us in our worshiping our God. And there was only love, because the Creator removed the judgment from the world, so Balaam cannot use it to hurt the Israelites. But it's all about teaching us. So when we think that only love, you know, you want to spoil your child, just say yes. Just give them whatever you want. Everybody knows that the child needs boundaries. This is the time you go to sleep. This is the time you get up. This is what you eat. This is what you're not supposed to eat. You can eat chocolate, but that's as much before it hurts you. Oh, mom, dad, you hate me. You don't let me. No, we love you because of that. We need to balance between the chesed, the loving kindness, and the judgment, the boundaries. That's ABC in education. That's ABC in relationship. You give somebody everything, they hate you. No, you have to give and at the same time make sure that the person is giving also. So it's balanced. A plague is starting because they lose the balance. You cannot solve problems just with unconditional love to everyone. It doesn't work this way. Opening all the borders, whoever wants can come in and we'll give him everything. It doesn't work. You need boundaries about what's allowed, what's not allowed. Otherwise, people just use that up and finally, you have nothing to give to anyone. That's why Halacha says you cannot give all what you have to charity. Why? Isn't that amazing? No, it's not. It's irresponsible to give everything that you have to charity. Finally, the community has to back you up and feed you because you have no resources anymore left. It's irresponsible. And that's what happens. So the whole system collapses. There's a plague. Thousands of people die in the camp of Israel. And nobody knows what to do. Everybody, again, remember what we saw in the beginning. The Moabites are hysterically crazy, afraid. They wish themselves death. Same thing right now. Moses, the leaders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the judges, everybody is crying. They are in shock. There was one person that was not in shock. And what's the word is being used about him? That's chapter 25, verse 7. Vayar Pinchas. The same verb, Vayar, he saw. Balak saw, Pinchas saw. Balak, he saw it from the wrong window. What window? Of pride, the window of fear, the window of power, hunger, all of those wrong windows. And therefore, he got to the wrong conclusions. And he brought demise and destruction to his people. While Pinchas, he is the only one that had awe. In Hebrew, reiya, sight, awe, hirah. Same letters. Only when you have awe, when you commit to serve the light of the Creator, you can see through the main window, as the Zohar says. And he sees the rule, what should be done. He goes to Moses, says, didn't you teach me, all of us, what should be done? And Moses says, you're right. How come Pinchas saw it and Moses not? Because Pinchas was willing at that moment to give, to sacrifice his life just to save the rest of the people. What does it mean? When you're willing to exchange your own selfishness, egotistic desires, into really being there for others, then you have the real true awe that allows you to see, that allows you finally to know what to do. Although all the great experts you paid them that worked for you on a salary, okay? Pension funds, everything. But they are busy with themselves. They cannot give you the right picture. Only when we work, as Rabbi Ashlag is teaching, transforming our egotism into real altruism for the because that's the way to connect to the endless light of God. No other way. Only then, the window, the main window, opens up. Pinchas was the only one to be able to see what has to be done. He saw it. He was willing to sacrifice himself. He died, the clinical death, because he was sure he was gone. Not just he didn't lose his life. He gained the high priesthood. He became from Pinchas, a not so important member of the Kohanim family, into Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Hanavi, that had and earned eternal life. And he's still involved with all kinds of miracles from then all the way till today. As we said before, all of these traits, all of these people, are forces playing inside each one of us. Our job is to find Pinchas and hold on to him, and to stay away from the Balaks and the Bilams and the craziness, and all what logically looks right, but it's very dangerous for us. Thank you so much, and have an amazing life.